Okay. Okay, fine. Sure.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Sure, whatever. I don't care, whatever.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Yep. That's what it is. Yep.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. How you doing today on this whatever? Wednesday, is it? Oh, God, I don't even know what day it is. Oh, God. Well, we're 2 days away from the inauguration of what's-his-face. What's his orange face? Orange is the New White. It's a new series. He's probably going to start on Netflix once he's kicked out of office on his ass. Can you tell that I don't particularly care for him? Friday to me is doomsday. And I know it's not, but it you know, why not? It probably will be. It'll be a day that goes down in history as, oh crap, what the hell did we do kind of day. And I'll tell you something, I don't really care about his policies, even though I disagree with quite a few of them. Some I agree with. I mean, it's like, it's 2 o'clock twice every day. I mean, it happens. But my goodness, if he would just shut the hell up, he could be palatable. He could be perhaps workable if he just shut the hell up. Sew your mouth shut, you whining little bitch. What's wrong with you? I know what's wrong with you, Mr. T. It's because your ego is larger than your mouth is, and you can't stop it. Your mouth and your ego are having a battle every waking day of your life. Go to sleep at night. Shut up. If you do a press conference, make sure Kellyanne Conway has told you exactly what to say, like the bride of Chucky. Come on. Come on, Don. Shut the hell up. Did you ever hear of foot and mouth disease? This guy's got it chronically. He should be hospitalized. We have Mr. Trump in the ICU. Is he going to be okay? No, he won't shut up. He just won't shut up. Let me tell you something about tweeting. Tweeting never worked for anybody. The only tweets that work are two words that people use when somebody dies. You tweet something, it's very effective. It's the only thing that works. And that tweet is, no words. Oddly enough, ironically, no words. Obviously, why tweet to begin with if you're not going to say anything? But I guess you're letting everybody know that you're overcome with something to the point where you can't even utter anything except for two words and tweet them out to billions of people. Otherwise, you would shut up because you have, quote unquote, no words. Hashtag moron. Tweeting is bad. Texting is bad. Texting is bad. How many times have you gotten into trouble because you texted something, but people didn't know exactly what you meant? Didn't know if it was sarcastic, funny, serious. I don't know. I'll take it as the worst possible scenario. Now you're an asshole. Texting's no good. Tweeting's no good. Texting is only good if you're going to give somebody information, like turn to page 73 in your hymn books, send. That kind of tweet or that kind of text is an exchange of information. As soon as you get into opinion or comment, you are in trouble. For everything that you say that you think is good, there's going to be somebody that thinks what you said was bad. This is also why Facebook is a horrible, horrible idea. It pumps up what you think are your supporters when indeed they're all laughing behind your Facebook ass, and you know that's the case. You think you have such a wonderful Facebook personality with 800 friends. Let me tell you something. 798 of those friends think that you're kind of weird and you're a little ridiculous, self-absorbed, and that you should just shut up too. Nobody is interested what you had for dinner last night, much less looking at a picture of your meatloaf. You may find that exciting. It may chronicle the more important moments in your life. Here's a real important moment in my life. Look what I had last night. Meatloaf. You got to understand, people have their own lives. They don't care about your freaking meatloaf. As monumental as it was to you, other people may not care about it. Perhaps they had their own meatloafs. I don't know. I should start doing that on my Facebook pages. I have so many of them. I should just take a picture of a bowl of rice and say, very good, or something like that, and just see how many likes I get. I better get hundreds and hundreds of likes because I take a picture of a bowl of rice. That's how stupidly ridiculous this all is. And by the way, stupidly ridiculous is not a phrase that is acceptable by most people who have any type of grammar issues. And yet here we have the inauguration of a president who loves to tweet, who loves to attack people through 40 words or less. If you say anything negative about this man, he will attack you with vengeance through words. Fortunately, he's not with the mafia. Otherwise, there'd be people laying dead in the streets all over the place. Fortunately, it's just words. But words can hurt. Words can cause problems. I've said it before, and I'll say it again many, many times. By the time we hit the first week of August, this president that's being inaugurated will be under some type of A, investigation, B, some type of effort to remove him from office, or C, will have actually committed some type of form of treason. I'm telling you what's going to happen. This man will have the roughest ride of any person ever sitting in the White House. If he sneezes wrong, he will be indicted accordingly. There are a lot of people who would love to get back at this paper asshole. A lot of people. And I mean, line them up. I'm in there too. I'm on that line as well. He goes into Friday's inauguration with this is funny, a kind of an approval rating of 17%. Way more than half the country, way more than the number of people that voted for him or the percentage that voted for him, thinks that this is going to be bad. This is not going to be fun. Now, for comedians, it's going to be a joyride, but I think that's where the fun stops. We're all going to walk around with our fingers and toes crossed every living, breathing day for the next 4 years, hoping that he just shuts up. That's going to be all his advisors, all Americans, will just hope he just shuts up. But he won't, because he can't, because he's mentally ill. Now, I don't make fun of the mentally ill category at all. I know many people that are mentally ill. They're on medication. They have terrific problems to the point where they cannot exist day to day comfortably in their lives in their own skin. That's a problem. Mentally ill is not a joke. It's not just something you call somebody because they did something a little weird. It is an actual diagnosis. It is an inability to exist within their own skin, mentally. Donald Trump has this problem big time. He's, I can't go through the list of adjectives because it would take me all day. If he underwent psychological testing right now, he would be found to be unfit, not only as a president, but probably as working behind the counter at Chipotle, as most people should be found unfit when they do that. Not that I don't like that place, I just don't care for it. I do believe that a law should be passed immediately, like before this show ends, where if you're going to perform in public office, you must undergo psychological testing first. We cannot have people in power who are unstable. That's what's happening. That's what's going to happen. He is not a rational man. He doesn't believe in real information. He makes it up himself. He blasts the media for making up fake news. Let me tell you something. This is what he said, practically quote unquote. When 9/11 occurred, he said that people in New Jersey, in Jersey City specifically, thousands of people were in the street cheering the fact that the towers came down. That never happened. It never happened. That's fake news that he made up. He claimed for years and years, plenty of time to become sane again, he claimed for many, many years that Barack Obama was not a citizen of the United States and did not qualify as president because he wasn't born here. He challenged the president to come up with his birth certificate. And even when Obama did that, Trump questioned its authenticity. That was obviously supposed to be embarrassing, but somehow he ends up being president. I don't understand that either. More fake news that he conjectures and makes up. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. His opponent, Ted Cruz, during the preliminaries, he accused one of Ted Cruz's relatives of being in on the assassination of President Lincoln. And this was Cruz's legacy. Somehow there was a connection between Cruz's family and the assassination of Lincoln. I mean, seriously, this man makes things up or hears things from friends who made stuff up, and he goes with it. Isn't that how we got stuck in Iraq? Invading Iraq because we heard stuff and we went with it. I don't know. I don't want to get too political on this show because I'm not really talking politics. I'm more or less talking about an individual's personality who has the most powerful position in the world right now. Whoever leads this country kind of has a great influence on every single person throughout the globe, which is weird and unfortunate, but is the case. Somehow, this strange situation has occurred. And I certainly blame Orange Face And I certainly blame those baskets of deplorable people, as so termed by Hillary Clinton. Not all of them that voted for Trump. Some of them voted because they were so confused and disillusioned, they didn't know what the hell was going on. I blame this all on Hillary Clinton. And I'll tell you why. It's because she generated more hate than even Trump did. And that's quite an achievement. Hillary Clinton did some stuff that just should have disqualified her long ago. The hatred that many people had of Hillary Clinton, many Republicans certainly, overshadowed the hatred that people had for Donald Trump, oddly enough. Donald Trump could say the stupidest things, do the stupidest things, even make sexual comments about more than half of the population, which is women. He could mimic disabled people. He could go after anybody in a schoolyard bully kind of childish manner. He was everything but dignified, and yet he came through it all. And the reason is because Hillary was more despicable than he was. So I blame it on her. In the back of my mind, I say to myself, what if Bernie Sanders had beat out Hillary Clinton? What if Bernie Sanders had beat the machine? And I also believe that it took, I don't know what went on between Trump and Russia. I don't think anybody really knows. But to me, there's no question in my mind that the leaking of all these documents against Hillary Clinton were orchestrated by WikiLeaks, perhaps the Russian government. I think it was just WikiLeaks, really, that's to blame here. They publicly were able to scar Hillary Clinton even more than she was scarable. And for some reason, all the crap rolled off of Trump and all the crap stuck to her. But I more blame not Hillary Clinton even more as much as I do. I blame this country. I blame its people. A, I blame the people that voted for this orange-faced idiot. You didn't have to vote this time around. You could have taken the high road and say, they both suck big time. I need change. Donald Trump would be change, but he's not the kind of person to do it. He is just too much of an asshole, and I'm more dignified than that to do the stroke of any pen on any ballot in his name. I like the fact that he'd be totally different, and we should take a chance because everything else didn't work out too well for us. But you went too far. You went too far. You tried to make a point with the worst person in the world that could actually pull it off. And not because he necessarily couldn't pull it off, it's because he just won't shut up. He is disrespectful, way too transparent, and just the biggest jerk you've ever met in your life. Because we were trying to teach our kids not to bully people. That was a big thing. Don't bully people. Now you got a president who's been successful because he bullied. What do you tell your kids now? Kids, don't bully people, but kind of it does work. Obviously, it works. Here's a guy who spends his life in business bullying people and bullying other businesses in order to achieve. That's the example. Call people fat, shame them down to nothing, cut their legs off until they can't exist anymore and are crawling to kiss your ring. That's how you succeed, kids. Grab every pussy you can find and relish it because you earned it and they owe it to you. That's what you do, kids. Say outrageous things. Hurt people's feelings in the name of truth. That's how you become popular and famous, kids. Like him. Like the president. Sad. Sad what you did. But I kind of don't blame you either. I blame this country. With 300 million people plus in the richest, strongest country in the world, we couldn't come up with one freaking person, or even two. The best we could do was Hillary Clinton representing power and Donald Trump representing power. That's the best we could do. The best we could do. Those are the only two that really stepped forward. Well, Ron, there were others. There was Bernie Sanders, and there was Ted Cruz, and there was Kasich. Other people stepped forward, Ron. Yeah, but the American people embraced the assholes. You embraced the assholes. They can only make it as far as you let them go, and you let them both go way too far. Maybe next time around, you'll remember this little bump in the road, and hopefully it is just a bump. And maybe you'll make some smarter decisions. And maybe some compassionate, well-feeling, experienced people will step forward next time. We'll see. I know, legacy-wise, I think Barack Obama will, decades later, be known like Jackie Robinson or like one of those crusaders who broke a barrier on a national basis. And I think he'll be found quite successful, extremely well-meaning, and very diplomatic and very mature and sophisticated. And I know some of you hate his guts, but at the same time, he was those things. Interestingly enough, I think the worst president in my lifetime was the last Bush. It should be the name of a book. I wrote a book called The Last Bush. Oh, what is that about? Is that a porno film? No. The last Bush, 9/11 happened under his watch. Not blaming him for it, just happened during his watch. He brought us into Iraq, which created ISIS and all those horrible terrorist groups, and Bin Laden and the whole bit, and gave them that bacteria a place to fester quite easily. And of course, I believe Bush went into Iraq based on some type of retaliation. Just so, it's like you get mad and you punch a hole in the wall and then you have to have the wall repaired, but the wall's never the same. Bush punched a hole in the wall and it never got really, and you try to repair it and it's not working out. That original punch in the hole and in the wall was bad. And that punch in the wall was Iraq. And we've been trying to repair it ever since and it's not working out. He'll be known for that. On his watch was the economic debacle, which was the second worst since the Great Depression, where people lost all their money, their funding, their investments, their jobs, their homes. That happened during the last Bush years. Man, not good, man. Not good. And on top of that, not a real cool, suave person either. Probably the nicest guy in the world. Did the best he could under the circumstances with what he had. And that was bad. And now we sit on this keg of dynamite, And we don't know what tomorrow may bring. It's making people very unstable. The stock market is going through the roof, but I'll tell you something, and mark my words, after the inauguration, the stock market will not do well. As soon as that Trump guy makes any type of actual move within his presidency that causes any great controversy whatsoever, the market shall plummet back to where it probably should be, which is really called a correction. That's my opinion, and I'm usually right. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. I've bothered you enough. Let's move on, because seriously.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to say hello to one of our old friends. Yes, indeed. Stephanie Oswald is the editor-in-chief of Travel Girl, Inc. magazine. She is the travel girl. She has been all over the world. She gives us the travel tips, and which not as good as steak tips, but still good. And she's so chock full of information always. She joins us again now, probably on a monthly basis, we hear from Stephanie Oswald. Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, Ron. I'm doing great. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just thought I'd say hello to you today. Stephanie Oswald is...
Oh, I'm so happy. Of course. I'm sure it's might be a little dreary in Boston right now.
Well, it's a little chilly, but yeah. Stephanie's the editor-in-chief of Travel Girl magazine, as you know. She's on the show on a regular basis, and Stephanie is a travel girl. That means a travel expert, and it is a little bit chilly, and it is the winter, and it is time that people think, oh, I got to go somewhere. I got to get away from this at least a little bit. And so we turn to you. Tell me about some local and national travel destinations that we might be interested in.
Well, I have to tell you, Ron, right off the bat, this is the month, and today is a great day because it's our first long weekend. Happy MLK Day.
Okay.
But this is a day to plan a trip because that can help boost your spirits. Research shows that just planning a vacation can help. So flash sales, that's the two magic words for today, flash sales, because I saw, now this isn't a local deal, but it's one you're going to love.
Uh-huh.
Travelzoo had something that I found yesterday morning. You can go to Paris and London.
What?
I mean, amazing. I've never seen something this good. London and Paris for a week for less than $900,
no,
including flights.
That's impossible. I'm sorry, Stephanie, but now you're coming up with fake news.
No, I promise you, it is true. You have to check it out. Those are the types of deals you're going to find right now.
My
now,
God.
The key is, Ron, of course, you need to check the fine print because...
Yeah.
There are only, you know, certain gateway cities, and it might cost a little bit more to go depending on where you're leaving from.
Right.
But when you start out with a base of 900, including flights and hotels,
that's
for
crazy.
Two places like that, you're going to get a deal. You're on your way to getting a really great deal. And, I mean, there are some just super flash sales out there. If you are signed up for your favorite airline website, you're going to find out. I mean, that's the best way to take advantage of deals that are local and close to your heart. Because if you've got a favorite hub city, you know you're going to be flying out of Boston, out of Logan, then you want to sign up for whatever airline you use the most, and they will. You're going to see these flash sales. There was one. Delta had one on from any of their destinations to Mexico. They keep doing flash sales based on the destination, which is great too. But if you are flexible and you know that you've got a certain time for your vacation, whenever these flash sales come up, you can get some amazing deals.
Yeah. So how would I know if a flash sale is coming up? Where do I go to keep in? I guess Travel Girl magazine would tell you.
TravelGirlInc.com, of course. But this is where it's so important to be up to date with all your social media.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're following places. Make sure you're signed up for those newsletters. You want to be your own travel agent and be smart about planning. You want to be signed up. So if you know you're going to a certain place, or you know that you love a certain hotel chain, or you've got points with a certain hotel chain, you want to make sure that you're getting their newsletters, because that's how you're going to find out about these flash sales first. And sometimes I've even seen them come out on Instagram and Twitter. So being up to date with the ones that you like the most, and just kind of checking it out every once in a while, you're going to see it. That's how I saw that Travelzoo deal to London and Paris. So that's a big deal. You know, Myrtle Beach is one of my favorite destinations too. They launched deals today that are designed to beat the blues, Blue Monday deals. So if you go to their website, visitmyrtlebeach.com, you can save more than 40% at some of these resorts. And you don't have to travel right away. Like, these deals, for example, go to the end of May. So you've got some wiggle room there if you want to head down to the beach. And if you know you need to take a flight, something else you can do, if you go on TripAdvisor, Kayak, a lot of places, and you can just, you know, figure out which one works best for you. But for me, it's TripAdvisor. You can sign up for your favorite routes. So every time that route changes, you're going to get an email. So you don't want to do it for too many. But, for example, if you know, you want to know when the flight changes, the amount changes for the flight from Boston to Myrtle Beach. So you put that route in there. Every time it goes down or up, you're going to get an email. So sometimes it's just seeing that in your email box will make you think, oh, wow, I could go to the beach for $258. And just for that, just that thought that you can take off on that vacation. You know, I have one in there from, I used to live in Atlanta, and I used to go to Crested Butte, Colorado a lot, and I have one in there. So every time the rate changes from Atlanta to Gunnison, I get an email in my inbox. And I haven't deleted it yet, just because I like the thought of, oh, wow, I could be in Gunnison right now. And
that's pretty cool.
Biking. And I just, those are the types of things, if you are a good planner and you're very specific about what you get in your email box, you're gonna save yourself a lot of money.
Well, it's good to know the internet is good for something. And there you go. All right.
One more little tip you're being your own travel agent. You want to make sure that when you're searching for flights, that you clear your cache. So the C-A-C-H-E.
Right, I understand
the internet
that.
Cache. Yeah, because
the cache.
Every time, technology says that every time you search for a specific flight route, they might be putting those prices higher and higher. Depends on where you're looking. But a lot of times it will pay off to actually clear your cache, so you're getting a fresh search every time.
Ah, so there you have to fool the internet. Interesting. Let's talk about stress, because you may notice, Stephanie, when you talk to me, I'm a very stressed guy. And when I go away or plan to go away, it kind of surmounts my stress. So how do you relieve some of that?
And Ron, that makes me sad, because vacation should take away your stress. So it is my goal in life. It's always my goal to help you figure out how to make that travel less stressful. And I'll tell you what, I have a story up on our Travel Girl website right now, 5 things you can do right now to have smoother travels in 2017. And one of them, simple stuff, one of them, update your luggage tags. You want to make sure that you've got the right information on your luggage tags. And also, label your electronics. I mean, I've been to the airports, big airports. I've been in Atlanta's Lost and Found and at Hartsfield, and it is insane the amount of electronics that people lose every year. Yeah. And it's all because they didn't put a little address label on there. Use your address labels, add a phone number, print up your own labels, put them on the inside of your fancy new sunglasses case that you know, the glasses you got for Christmas, or your iPad, you know. You might think it looks dorky. My kids are like, Mom, do you have to put that on there? And I'm, yes, I do. Because when you accidentally leave it at the TSA booth, I'm going to make sure we get it back. So that's something you can do. Yeah. Second, do a toiletry kit checkup. So if you've got one bag that you travel with all the time, which I highly recommend, instead of packing and unpacking, just have that one toiletry kit ready to go. Make sure that everything you have in there, your vitamins, your dental floss, your travel-size toothpaste, make sure it's all fresh, ready to hit the road for the new year. Nothing's expired. So good time to go through that. And then planning a getaway. That's, again, something you can do. You know, you just mentioned you're stressed. Yes. And that's the thing. It's January. So it's kind of like a clean slate, Ron.
I know.
But pretty soon everything is going to get overflowing with obligations, and your agenda is going to be scheduled to the max. Mm-hmm. So give yourself a post-holiday present and plan a trip.
Thank you. Stephanie, you're also my psychologist, I found out.
Wow. Well, it is travel psychology. You know, just a lot of this is mentally putting yourself in another place. And, you know, something else you can do that's really inexpensive to get the joys of travel into your everyday life is to choose the right souvenirs when you're traveling. Mm-hmm. So instead of just getting that snow globe or that magnet that you've gotten a million times, or you have a collection of spoons, whatever it is, that's great. But consider, make this one of your travel goals for 2017. Consider investing in something that's going to change your life on a daily basis just by looking at it. So whether it's something simple like a spoon rest that sits on your stove. You know what those are? You can hold all your spoons while you're cooking.
I know.
You can get one for like a few dollars at some of these destinations. But that's something you're going to see it every day. It's going to remind you of your trip. A trivet, something like that for the kitchen. Or maybe you need a clock for one of your bedrooms or your bathroom, or something, just a piece of art to hang on the wall. Something that might cost a few dollars more than that snow globe or the magnet, but it's something that's actually going to just give you a cheer up.
Yeah.
So
when you're in your home after the trip, you look at this thing every day and you go, I get
it.
Exactly. I get it.
You got it.
I know. Let's talk about the travel budget. Do a lot of people say, this is how much money I have to spend to go somewhere. What can I get for this amount of money? Do people do it like that, or as opposed to, I want to go to Florida and let's see what the prices are?
Well, you know, it is different depending on who you're talking to, because people have different goals for their travel lists, their travel bucket lists, and their travel, whether you're traveling by yourself or with a family. I mean, every trip is going to be different. So my advice is, if you're not sure, then you can, if you don't want to be your own travel agent, involve a travel agent, because a lot of times they're going to have access to deals that you may not have, or they might find those deals quicker than you.
That's kind of interesting.
That's an option too.
That's interesting.
And then also, if you are really budget conscious, you know, make sure you cross all your T's and dot all your I's when you're making those phone calls. Talk to the concierge and say, "Hey, I just booked a room for this date to this date. Can you tell me what deals are happening during that time? Or do you have any coupons?" I mean, I checked into a hotel in New York recently, and I just happened to mention that I was going to go for Thai food, and the concierge heard me and said, "Hey, we've got a 15% off at this restaurant. It's like two blocks away." I mean, right there, I saved several dollars just by mentioning at the front desk that I was going to go for Thai food. So being aware that there are people in place, like the concierge or the front desk, to help you and give you those deals, that can make a big difference too.
Yeah, they all want you to come back again, big time. So they'll do anything they can to make you happy while you're there. True.
Right. And you also want to do your homework and go online to the tourism board website.
Yes.
Make sure that you look to see, maybe there's a free festival happening, or maybe you're in town on a first Friday or a first Thursday. A lot of little places and big places have those deals where you know, they want you to shop local. So if you're there for the first Friday of a month, you're going to be able to take advantage of deals that other people might not.
Gotcha.
Or maybe every Thursday is the night that the museum in town is free.
Right.
So those are the types of things to look for. Good. If you really want to save money, make sure you take advantage of those types of events.
Very good. Or just travel with Stephanie Oswald and she'll take care of it. But I guess you can't
That's
do that.
True.
You can't.
That's true.
Can't
or tweet to me, or send me a request, and I will be happy to help. I tell people all the time. You know, I try to respond to all the Twitter messages I get, and you can find me at Travel Girl Steph, and I will try to answer any specific questions people have.
Okay. And short of that, is there a place we can go for more information about all of this?
Sure. TravelGirlInc.com. TravelGirlInc.com is where you can find those 5 things to do right now for smooth travels. If you're going to head down to Mardi Gras, which, you know, I'm here in New Orleans, and everything fun started way back in January, on January 6th, 12th night. Craziness down here, but if you want to check out what's going on, Mardi Gras, NewOrleans.com.
Yep.
And if you want to head to the beach, take care of those, take a look at those Blue Monday deals and save some money, visit MyrtleBeach.com.
Excellent.
They also have some restaurants that are giving away free desserts with your meals. So, again, that's an example of little things that can add up when you're figuring out your vacation
That's
budget.
Good. It's everything you want to know about traveling. Hey, Stephanie, we'll talk to you soon again. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Ron.
Well, there's some helpful hints from Stephanie Oswald. Thanks, Steph. Always a pleasure. Always a plaisir. That's French in a strange way. Yeah. I got to get away, too. I haven't been away on vacation for years and years and years and years and years. I think it was 1827 was the last time I got away. Not that I like to fly. I don't like to fly. I don't care to fly. Too much hassle involved. Too much hassle. I don't mind the x-rays. And I don't mind having them distributed amongst the agents either. I just don't like to sit in airports. I don't like to wait for things. I don't like to be shoved into a tube, which is the airplane, by the way, just in case you didn't understand. It's the hassle to get someplace and then the hassle to get back, to me, does not equal the wonderful vacation idea. So I like to get in my car and drive, because that way I don't have to deal with people. There aren't even many toll takers anymore for me to have to deal with. So it's just me in the open road and then my destination. That's what I like to do. But I think at some point, very soon, we're all going to need to get away. Oh, yeah. Get away from me. I want to go to a nice little place somewhere, a nice little hotel or maybe a cabin or something, and just sit around in my underpants all day. Actually, I can do that here. I've got to get away. Get away. Ooh, away. Well, I may be wrong, babe, leaving you this way. I must be strong. What I need. I want to go to a little getaway place that has an exercise workout room, because if I pay for the hotel room, then I'm going to go to the workout room because I kind of paid for it. And I like to swim, but I don't have a pool. My bathtub isn't big enough, so I could go swimming. That comes with the price of the room. And then they usually have a nice restaurant in the hotel or maybe like nearby, and I can eat food. That sounds nice. Well, I may be wrong, babe, leaving you this way. I must be strong, babe. I'd like to invite you to get away with me, run one of those silly tours, and be the host of the tour. But to be honest with you, the idea of getting away is getting away from you. And you, and you, and you. And I stay away from you until I start missing you, then I know I've had enough without you. And that's how that works. Yeah. Well, it is time for me to get away for today, but I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. That was Badfinger, by the way, with the song Get Away. Interesting. So until tomorrow, I wish you peace.